Our scripture text for our lesson this morning is found in John, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse. John, chapter 3, and verse 16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Once again, we are glad that you are here. I feel like the psalmist in Psalm 122 and 1, and they said, "I was glad when they said we could go worship the Lord." Now he's talking about physically assembling, and friends, let me tell you, I'm going to be overjoyed when we can all meet together. But now, as it seems, that may not be possible, so I am still overjoyed because we're still assembling together. We're still worshiping. We're still learning about God. We're going to talk about a sermon I wrote. We studied Exodus there at the Wood Church of Christ. That was a quarterly study we did. And I had the idea for this while we were studying Exodus when we got into the 20th chapter. And so I kind of built a lesson around that, and I've enjoyed doing this. I've turned this into a series on my Friday radio programs that you may or may not have heard, but they're online. I will post a link to that if you want to hear it. Speaking of links, I've posted a link to the sermon notes in the video comments. Would love to put a copy of these here in your hand. We're going to talk about "If You Love Me." Friends, the word "love" appears in the Bible some 442 different times. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you now, I didn't sit down there and go page one and count them out. I used a computer to do that. But still, a reliable Bible program, some 442 times, the word "love" appears in the Word of God. Friends, love is one of the first things that we learn in the Bible. We see that in display in chapter 1, because God loves us enough, he's going to create the world for us. But friends, love is also one of the first things that we learn in life. One of the first feelings that we have as a newborn is we develop a love for our mother and a love for our father and a love for our family and our brothers and sisters, whatever the case may be. We are very familiar with love, and so that's why we started out with what's often been called the golden text of the Bible. John 3:16 puts on a pedestal, puts on a display mount, if you will, the love of God. And friends, when we stop, when we consider just how much God truly has loved us, or loves us, I should say, then we should really be willing to do all that our Lord demands. So this morning, I want us to look at this phrase, "If you love me," three different times in God's words. You're going to have three main points, and they will be outlined over here for you. We're going to look at these passages and see what it means, "If you love me." And so our first one is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. And I guess I spoke too soon when I said going to look at the phrase, "If you love me," because as you're turning there with me, I hope that you are. Exodus 20 verse 6, God literally does not say, "If you love me." But we're going to see what he says, and we could reconstruct the sentence and make it say, "If you love me." I mean, that's not taking it out of context. That's not changing the Word of God. Friends, just go to Exodus 20 and verse 6. Look at me. In the context here, God is giving the Ten Commandments to his people. God says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now, God doesn't say, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and keep my commandments, I will show you mercy." He just rewords it, and he says, "I will show mercy unto them that love me and keep my commandments." So that's why we're looking at it here, as I mentioned there, your context. And it's so important to see everything in context. God is giving the Ten Commandments. There are ten of them. We're not going to go over them all. But Numbers 1 through 4, which are found in verses 3 through 11, they deal with how do we treat God. "Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not have a graven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord of thy name of thy God in vain." God first taught, and remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The first four deal with how do we treat God. And then Numbers 5 through 10, or the last six, it's verses 12 through 17, deal with how do we treat our fellow man. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness. We're familiar with these. There's a dividing line. How do we treat God? And how do we treat our fellow man? And in that section of treating God, he says, "I will show you mercy if you love me and if you keep my commandments." Now, there's a passage in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Friends, and this is something that we need to remember. I go to this passage a lot when I start reading through some of God's Word, and I think, well, that might be a little confusing. You go back to 1 John 5, verses 2 through 4, and John says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God, and when we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Watch this. "And His commandments are not grievous, His commandments are not burdensome, His commandments are not impossible to understand. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world." What is it? Even our faith. So friends, we see that God's commandments, God's instructions, they are not too difficult to understand. Yet you will meet people in the world, and these people in the world will tell you, "Well, friends, you know, I love God." That's what the world will say. And they'll say, "I want to do what God said, but I just can't follow His commands." Friends, they can't follow His commands, or they claim they can't, because God's commands often clash with their sinful lifestyle. For example, the passage in Matthew 5:27, where Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, "Man, one wife for life is God's plan." He reiterates that in Matthew 19 and verse 9, that the only reason for divorce is because of fornication. And yet people come up to me and people come up to you and they'll say, "Boy, that commandment's just too hard to understand." Why? Because they may be caught up in a sinful lifestyle. And they don't want to understand it, because then if they understand it, that's calling them out of sin. Or one person, let's just pick one, for instance, that enjoys gambling, enjoys playing the lottery. Well, they have a problem with Matthew 6:24, "You cannot serve God and riches." Or Ephesians 4:28, 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." They have problems with these verses. Why? Is it because they can't read it? No, they can read it and they know what it means, but they don't want to do it because it clashes with what they like to do. They don't like to clash with their sinful lifestyle. People would rather hold on to sin than hold on to God. So what is the result? Well, He's already told us there in Exodus, but I want you to see what God says about mercy in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Romans 5, 7 and 8. I'll tell you now, there's a typo in my notes if you've downloaded them. I have verses 8 and 9. But it really should say 7 and 8. So if you download them and they're there for you, make that little correction if you will. God gives us a promise that we are going to have mercy. Look at mercy on display in Romans 5, 7 and 8. Where Paul says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Change that word "us" to "me," and that verse means a whole lot more. Yes, He died for the whole world, but friends, even when I was still in sin, Christ died for me. Friends, that's the promise of mercy. God says, "I'm going to show mercy unto them that love me and keep my commandments." But there's a caveat. There's your new word for the day. Your caveat. What is it? You have to keep His commandments. God's not just going to show mercy if you go against what He has to say. One more quick point on this is found in the Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy 5 at verse 10. And I like the way that this happens. If you're familiar with the Old Testament at all, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, God gives His law in Exodus and in Leviticus as well, because Leviticus is the book of laws. By the time we get to Deuteronomy, duo, it means two, duet, two people singing. Onomy means law. And so Deuteronomy literally is the second giving of the law. So notice what God says in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10. He says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Why is this significant? Because God did not change His law the second time around. He says, "I'm going to show mercy unto them, but they still have to love me, and they still have to keep my commandments." That's our first verse I want us to examine as we look at "If you love me." Our second one is found in John 14 and verse 15, and I feel you might be able to quote this verse. This verse may have been what popped into your head when you saw the lesson text, because there in John chapter 14 and verse 15, it's real simple. Jesus Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Plain and simple. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, you'll see over here on the screen, it says a lesson in Greek. We're going to learn a little bit of Greek, but I want to give you a side lesson very quickly here in John 14. I have underlined a few words in John 14, verse 15, 16, 17. I want to show you why. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, I've underlined the word me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father. I've underlined the word Father. And he shall give you another comforter. I underlined another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit. I underlined Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I underline me, Father, another comforter, and Spirit. Why? One of the many passages in Scripture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three members of the Godhead doing three different things at the same time. That's just as a way, because there are people who will tell you, well, they're not really all one. They're different. No, Jesus says they're all one, but they all have different jobs. So there's your side lesson. Aren't you glad you showed up for worship today? All right, let's look at a lesson in Greek here in John 14 and verse 15. And I will tell you now, I am not a Greek scholar. I don't know a whole lot of Greek. I know enough to get by. I know enough to be just a tad bit dangerous. You don't have to know Greek to get into heaven. But I want to show you something interesting, because in the New Testament, there are primarily two words for Greek, or excuse me, for if. In Greek. And the New Testament primarily is translated out of Greek. So there are two words, and I want us to look at those. The first one for if you write it out, it's the letter E, and it's the letter I. And then that funny little squiggly E, that's actually Greek letters for you. And that literally, if you were to read it, it reads I. It reads just like you say the letter I. And that word for if, it literally means maybe you are, or maybe it is, maybe you aren't, or maybe it is not. Well, let's look at this here in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to see this. We're going to stay in Matthew 4 for a few verses. Matthew 4 is the story, at least at the first part, of the temptation of Jesus Christ by Satan in the wilderness. And I want you to look in Matthew 4 and verse 3. The tempter came to him, that's Satan. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, literally, in Greek, he said, I, if, maybe you are the Son of God. Maybe you aren't. But if you are, he says, command these stones to be made bread. Jump down to verse 6. He said, if thou be the Son of God, that's E-I again, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Maybe you're the Son of God. He says, cast yourself down. And then he misquotes Scripture there, and Christ is going to get on to him about that. What do we see? This is the word for maybe you're not really certain. You're not really positive about your answer. It could be, but there's an equal possibility it could not. That's your first word for if. Your second word, and notice how similar it is. If you write it out in English, it's E-A-N. It's pronounced Ian, E-H-A-N, Ian. It means since. It means because of. It means so. Notice that first one, I, maybe. Notice the confidence in Ian. It is so. Jump down there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. And Satan is taking him up to exceeding high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world, which were not Satan's to give. And Satan says to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me, if you do it. Now, he's not saying maybe you will, maybe you won't. He says, upon the condition of you bowing down, I will give this to you. Well, guess what? And you see it there on the screen in John 14, 15. Jesus Christ says, since you love me, because you love me, so you love me. That's that word for if. He says, you'll keep my commandments. Friends, this is true without a shadow of a doubt. Christ says, if, since, because of, so you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's keep going and learn a little bit more Greek today, because our next word is love. If you, we know about you. If you what? Love me. Now, there are four kinds of love in Greek, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. I'm just going to put them up here for you and quickly go down them. Your first kind is agape love. That's charity. That's the kind we think they're love, giving to others because they need it. Eros, means sexual passion. You've ever seen the word erotic? E-R-O-T-I-C. Comes from the word eros. It is a sexual, a passionate love. You have philia. That's an affectionate regard. It also means friendship. You ever been to Philadelphia? What's their nickname? They're the city of what? Brotherly love. Why? Because the name literally means affection, love among brethren. And then storg is your fourth one. That's a familial love, the love between a father and a son, or a daughter and a mother, or grandparents, aunt, uncle. That's that kind of love. But you'll know, even in your own family, you love your family different than you love your spouse, or you love your spouse different than you may love your best friend. They're different kinds of love. Well, and the reason I didn't put Greek up is because there's so many different variations on the ending. I didn't want to try to confuse you with that. Well, what does Jesus Christ say? If you love me. If you agape me, since you love me, it's that loving to do good to someone else. That's what charity is, having somebody else's best interest in mind. In other words, if we simply love God, then we will keep His commandments. But number three, in this one, if you love me, you will what? Keep. Well, one more Greek word I want you to learn. That's tereo. T-E-R-E-O, and then I have it there. So that's why I don't write Greek, because I can't write that very well. But tereo, keep, as it's translated for us, literally means to guard from loss or injury. Also, it could mean a military line or an apparatus. Friends, it's either everything or it's nothing. You're either going to guard from loss or you're going to let it all go. We do not have a choice of commands today. Jesus Christ says, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied, cast out demons, done many wonderful works in thy name? He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you work iniquity. Friends, we do not have a choice of commands that we get to obey today. It's not a cafeteria-style religion where you pick one and you pass on the next to either follow them all or nothing. Friends, God's people, faithful people of God, have always been command keepers. So he says, since you love me, wanting to do good for me, you will keep, you will hold on to my commandments and not let them go. You with me? If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. Our last one this morning is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 18. John 21, 15 through 18. And we'll go ahead and set the scene before I read it. These events happen after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, but before the ascension. We're in that period between the two. Pick up with me there in verse 15. They're all together. So when they had dined, they had eaten. Now, pausing here, that tells me that Jesus is not a spirit, because spirits can't eat. This is physically Jesus in the flesh that has defeated death, rose out of the grave again the third day. Okay, continuing onward. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him, lovest thou me, the third time. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, thou knowest that all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, by the way, which was also leaned upon his breast at the Last Supper, said, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeth him, said, Lord, what shall this man do? I should have stopped at 18. I thought that was where. Anyways, there's just some extra Bible verse. These events happen after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there are three times that Jesus asked Peter the same thing. He says, Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now I want you to go back, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but think back to Matthew 26. There's a great story in verses 69 through 75 about the times that Peter denied Christ. I have taught that in a Wednesday night lesson you can find on this page, wherever you find it. It's titled Peter's Rooster. It took about 35 minutes, so I'm not going to try to reteach that here, but I want you to go back and find it if you're unfamiliar with the story. But cutting it short, Jesus Christ says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he said, I would rather die with you than to deny you. And then Peter denies three times, the rooster crows, he leaves. Christ looks up, Luke tells us, sees him, and Peter goes away weeping bitterly. Fast forward a little while after this. Imagine the thoughts that are going through Peter's mind. Maybe the first time. Maybe it wasn't so bad. Peter's smart man. He's probably starting to connect the dots. Maybe it wasn't so bad. The second time, Christ says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I do. Maybe it's starting to really sink in. Then that third time, we can tell he's cut to the heart because he answers differently. The Bible tells me, Bible tells you, Peter is grieved. Verse 17. The way I see this, Peter denied Christ three times. Now on the other side of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, he has three times to reaffirm his love. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know I do, Lord. And then Christ says, then feed my sheep or feed my lambs. What does he mean? He means take care of the flock. Go out and live the life of a Christian. Preach unto them. Be faithful. Be a good example. You need to feed them. There's a song in many song books. Lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. It's a great song, and it's taken from this passage. Because if we truly love Jesus Christ more than these, and we could put these to be mean anything, the world, friendships, whatever, lovest thou thee more than these, what do we need to do? We need to live the life of a Christian. Jesus asked Peter three times, if you love me. Peter says he did, and Jesus says, well, then keep my commandments or feed my sheep. Friends, I want to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Well, I feel like you do because you're spending some of your Sunday here studying and worshiping with us. Or maybe you're not watching this live, you're watching some other time, but you are dedicating part of your time to learn more about Him. Friends, if we daily love Jesus, then we will keep His commandments. We will feed His sheep. We will live daily the life of a Christian. Now, what if you're saying, but wait, Brother Justin, I'm not a Christian. I'd love to help you with that. Normally, we would have had an invitation song announced, and we would offer the invitation, and if you need to, you would come forward. That's kind of hard through the video screen, but I tell you what. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going to that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that, please contact me. I would love to assist you in that, would love to study with you or put you in contact with somebody that would be willing to help you just as much as I am. Friends, if you're not living faithful, if you say, I love Jesus, but if you're not keeping His commandments, you're not living faithful, maybe you need to repent of some sins in your life. Repentance, turning away from the sin and turning to God. If you need any help, prayers, or study, please reach out. Let me know. I would love to assist you in that. I want to do a quick plug to invite you back tonight at 5 for our series Live at 5. We will talk about what it means to walk or walking there as children of light. So mark your calendars back tonight here live at 5.